Here with Bob Myers, the ESPN NBA analyst, of course, the great former general manager, the architect of the four-time NBA champion Golden State Warriors, and now special advisor to the Washington Commanders, Josh Harris. Before we get started, Bob, I sent my resume in for special teams coach.
Yeah, we got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
I don't really have any experience, like formal experience, but
yeah,
I've got some ideas, some thoughts, some things that I think would work at the NFL level. So let me know.
Do you want to know now or later?
We could talk about it off
here. We can do it now if you want.
We can talk about it.
I can save you.
I just think I have some interesting ideas.
I think I have a response now.
All right. Well, since you're off of search duties in Washington, big trade in the NBA today, Bob. And just as you were landing in here for NBA Countdown, Pascal Siakam to Indiana. And now, you know, really two of the big players that we thought would go and have gone at the trade deadline, both from Toronto, OG Anunoby, and now Siakam goes to Indiana, Bruce Brown Jr., Jordan Nwora, three first-round picks to Toronto, who now are in a full rebuild. What does Indiana look like to you now with this group that has probably surprised people this year, overachieved? Tyrese Halliburton is having an incredible season. And now you add Pascal Siakam to this team in the East.
Well, it was the hole they needed. If you talk to Kevin Pritchard, that was what they were looking for, a wing that could score, defend. I mean, Siakam's the best one on the market, the best one that I think was attainable for this Pacers team. But as far as what they look like now, a better version of what they were. I don't think it changes them entirely, but I do think they become a team that should maybe have designs on a second round. Possibly if they can get up to that 4-5 seed, but they've given the Bucks problems, as everybody knows. Siakam probably helps him defensively. It doesn't hurt him offensively. So it's fine. And again, Indiana, even with cap space, I'm not sure they were getting a better player in free agency. So they decided to kind of take away the unknown and go get Siakam. And I like it for them. And Toronto, at the same time, also Masai is realizing either accept that they're going to pay him a max and go forward with that team, or move on. And he did this deal, and he got a lot of draft picks. And Bruce Brown, maybe you can move him on later if they want, if they don't want him for something. So overall, I think it helps both teams.
Interesting leverage in this deal. And you look at, you know, Toronto had conversations with a lot of teams, but I think the one ace in their pocket that the Pacers had was that they had max cap space this summer. And there was a sense that Siakam really liked the idea of Indiana. And if you're anybody else, the idea of trading for him as a potential rental, that you just weren't going to be willing to surrender as much as Indiana did with the confidence they have that he's not going to be a rental with the Pacers, that he's going to re-sign. I think it's kind of created a marketplace where it was tilted toward Indiana, and they were in great position to get this thing done and really outbid the market without having to give up any of the good young guys they had that Toronto wanted in the deal that ended up not being a part of it.
Yeah, and you mentioned before, this is the NBA that Adam Silver wants. This is the NBA which a lot of smaller market teams are looking for, where you're looking at a situation where a player like Siakam probably would have been in demand in many of the major markets. They would have loved to have had him. But a team like Indiana has the space, has the inclination, has the assets to go get him, and he's likely, like you said, going to sign a long-term deal in Indiana, and you're going to have a max player along with Halliburton in a market that may have trouble attracting players. So, like I said, good job by Kevin Pritchard and the front office of the Pacers to take away the uncertainty. We're not playing the free agency game. We're going to assure that we get our small forward. We've got Halliburton, Miles Turner at the center spot, and now the wing, and they feel like they've got Mathurin as well. They got Walker coming up. So they have a lot of things they like on this team, and let's see where it goes. I don't know that it changes everything this year, but right, next year you might have a team that's on the upswing.
The value of having a player like Tyrese Halliburton, who guys look at around the league, he's not in a glamour market. That's not what Indiana is. But there's no question, and I've heard it from guys, and I've heard it from their agents, it is intriguing to people. They look at how much fun it is to play there, how much fun he is to play there, how unselfish he is. And it sometimes allows you to play up in class in terms of your market, that he makes up for the difference that a Midwestern market might have had trouble. Listen, you can always make the trade, but you have trouble keeping the guy. And Halliburton changes that.
Of course. The person, the player, a combination of both. A guy that I don't think is seemingly trying to take the spotlight from anybody. Certainly shares the ball on the court. I think shares the attention with his teammates. Very likable guy, very cerebral, very smart, very down-to-earth guy. And who wouldn't want to play with him, right? He distributes the ball, tries to win. So look, for him also, it gives him another weapon to play with. But this is the model, again, that this is a team that's built it well. Kevin Pritchard, great trade, like we said, Sabonis fit them, and also the Kings benefited. You know, getting these guys in place to see what they can be over the next 3-4 years. But finding a small forward in this modern NBA is almost impossible. You know, if you don't draft the guy, getting one in free agency, there just aren't any. So this was the path, this was the way, and then they executed it.
You said it earlier, Bob, and it's very simple, but people sometimes don't understand how hard it is to acquire a very good player. I'm not sure Siakam's a great player, but he's a two-time All-Star. He's a very good player. And especially that position, they are hard to get.
Oh, yeah. Well, no doubt. Hard because everybody wants them, right? They fit every team. So if you're looking for a center, or you're trying to trade a center or acquire, there's centers all over. There's one guy that plays center on your team, usually one guy. A wing player, like you take guys like Mikal Bridges, these guys, OG Anunoby, that were traded, have higher value than the public might think because you can fit them on any team. It's funny, when we traded for, or we signed, it was a sign and trade, but in free agency, Gadi Iguodala. A lot of people thought, this was in 2012. Mm-hmm. Why would you sign Iguodala? You've got Harrison Barnes. So our thinking was you can never have enough wings. I think at the time, it was a little bit of a unique way of thinking. But our position was, let's get as many of these guys as we can and let them figure it out. That's what Siakam can be. He can be a 3-4, multiple positions. You can plug him in. He can catch the ball. He cannot. He can defend multiple positions. So that's why those guys carry so much value, and that's why they're so hard to attain.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirectTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We've talked about this a few times today, but the idea of, with the new salary cap and the second apron, and the limitations that are on big market teams. There was a time with, whether it was you with Golden State or the Clippers, that if you had, you maybe didn't have to make as many difficult choices. If you had talent in your organization, you could keep it if you were willing to spend into the luxury tax. And you could draft a player like Jordan Poole, develop him. He becomes a $100 million plus player, and you could re-sign him. It changes now with that second apron because it is so punitive to be above that $190 million mark that teams are going to do whatever they can to be below it. Now, the Clippers, probably this year, they're in it. Golden State may still be in it another year. But this is what the league wanted. They wanted the very, very good and some of the great players to be spread around this league. So instead of Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers having three max players, maybe you have 2.5. And players like Pascal Siakam are in Indiana, and they're going to be, you're starting to see that if those guys want max money, the max dollars are elsewhere, and you saw a player who was eager to go get it in Indiana.
Yeah, I think a couple things. Used to be as a GM, you would go to your owner, and it was not your money, right? It was just, do you want to go into the tax? No skin off my back. It's just more money. Now, if you're a good GM, you recognize that you don't want to be frivolous with money, even if it's not yours. You want to be responsible with your owner. But at the same time, the owner made that call as far as, I think it's worth it. It's my money. I want to do it. What's happened now with the second apron, by the system limitations that it creates, taking away potential freezing first-round picks, not being able to aggregate in trades, you now probably have GMs saying, even with an owner willing to spend, owner might be saying, hey, look, I'll throw the money at this. And the GM says, no, we can't do that. Even if I could let you, I won't, because I don't want to be constrained by the system issues. So what does that mean? To tie it back to what you said, it's if you're a player and you're coveting that max salary, your choices might be a max salary in a market that may be a smaller mid-market that doesn't have two max players already. Or conversely, if you want to do that three-headed monster thing, it's not going to be a max deal anymore. It's going to be $30 million instead of $45 million. How many guys are actually going to do that? My opinion is not many. They're going to go for the money.
And you're seeing even the Clippers, right? They got Kawhi Leonard under the max. You would assume in negotiations they're hopeful to get Paul George under that number. Then they've got James Harden. If the Clippers are going to keep their team together, it's going to take people maybe taking less to stay than might be available with a cap space team to go. And it's just, it used to just be automatic max contract on top of max contract in your 30s. I just think there's going to be a lot of harder negotiating going on.
Well,
right?
And also, if you're a player, hey, Adrian, I know you want a max. You say, of course, I'm a max player. I say, well, listen, the problem is if we give you a max, it ties up our picks. We're a second apron team. Now, you still may say, I don't care. But you say, well, listen, we have to care. We can't do that. It ties up our team. We're trying to contend. We're trying to compete. So the question is, like you said, the simple point is it should and will spread out talent. And that was the whole point of making it more than a monetary punitive issue. Now it becomes you're paying the multiple in the luxury tax, which is a lot and was punitive. But at the same time, now they're taking a situation and saying, even if you're willing to do that, we're going to hit you in other ways and make it so it's not just a money thing. Now it's a system thing. And that's why you're going to see these things like today where Siakam says, hey, maybe I want to go play somewhere else. Maybe I don't. I don't know what was in his head. But if I want my money, I'm going to Indiana.
Trade deadline, Bob. You've been through, this will be the first year you're not going through one. I'm sure you're missing those late night calls.
So great.
Early
That's
morning so calls, fishing calls. Anybody ever call, once Steph Curry was Steph Curry, now I'm not talking early in his career, but once he was an MVP and you won your first championship, did you ever get anybody ever have the guts to call you and ask and propose a Steph Curry trade?
Well, one guy took a shot. Wait, but you know who he is.
I'm very confident who he is.
Take a guess.
I'm guessing he probably was in Houston then. And
him too. Another guy. Yeah. I never was upset at anybody asking. A GM's job is to mine for trades. That's a GM's job. So, but Ainge was the one that was always.
Oh,
Ainge was
right.
The one.
Yeah.
Ainge was always going.
Well, Ainge recommended you for the job.
That's right. I owed it to Ainge.
Right.
Danny Ainge
recommended you to Joe Lacob.
I can't be upset with it. Return the favor. Give me Curry. but Ainge is. Yeah.
Ainge, did you just laugh? Did you laugh?
Yeah, we laughed. But Ainge is, like I said, we had a good relationship, so it was funny. But yeah, no, you got to ask. I mean, everybody knew that wasn't happening. So, it was kind of a good laugh. So.
People, what's always interesting to me in talking to GMs through lots of trade deadlines is how many different contingencies might be up on their board, and especially as you get closer. What is a whiteboard that you might have, or however you do it, magnets or write it out or computerized? How many different scenarios do you have to be ready to decide on? Because if somebody calls you at, let's say trade deadline's 3:00 and somebody calls you at 2:00 with an offer that you've already gone through with your group, right? What you would say to certain offers that maybe haven't even come yet. Mm-hmm. You've discussed some of them through or some that maybe have only been half baked. What is that like? How much is in play at any given deadline that you have to make decisions on probably in very short windows?
Quite a bit. But it bleeds down into, it gets refined each day, each hour. You're kind of focusing and you're eliminating. And so what might start as a board full of trade concepts that are incoming or outgoing, by the third day, as you approach it, by the second day, you're whittling it down. Because even to focus on one deal takes a lot of different iterations. But you may start out with 6-7 different concepts, and all of a sudden you realize, well, the other partner, trade partner, is not open to that. Or somebody gets an injury. That happens sometimes. Even a sprained ankle can derail a trade because you don't know the degree of it. You don't have the x-rays, you don't have the MRIs. Other trades can shake up your trade. You may be waiting on a team, or you may be waiting on another team or a deal where you say, I'll do that deal if I don't get the other thing, or I have this deal in front of that deal. So it's a puzzle, right? But you do rank in order of what you're hoping to accomplish. Most of the time, these things don't happen. I can tell you every team is probably looking at multiple trades right now, trade ideas, trade concepts. As you stated, an hour before the deadline, you're not getting a real trade proposal. And if you do, you're kind of upset. You're kind of like, I don't have enough time to digest this 1 hour left in the deadline. But if you're working towards something, you might have a sense of it's going to get there or not. A lot of times the night before you go to bed, you have a sense of what may or may not happen. The 1 hour, 2 hour before might be, hey, we'll give you a second round pick. Right. Just the throwaway deals. They don't require a ton of thought. Trying to get off a player. What's it going to take for you to take this contract to get me out of the tax? Stuff like that. But it moves fast. But most of the time, if you're doing it right, you've had a decent amount of time to kind of distill the real deals.
How much value do you put in? Because you see it a lot at trade deadline. There's certain teams who trade with certain teams, and a big part of that are relationships and history and trust. Utah and Cleveland have had this run of years of doing some big trades, smaller trades. As you get down to it around a trade deadline or making a deal, you kind of learn the rhythm of certain organizations, how they deal, who might back away from, you get a sense early they might be willing, and then they back away, and you know, there's different styles. How much do relationships play into getting stuff done?
Oh, huge. Well, speaking from my own experience, at least I knew based on kind of prior conversations or issues that we'd been through, I knew who I was talking to, so to speak. So it's always important to know the veracity of a conversation with, I've dealt with this person before. Sometimes you deal with them and you say, I know this is BS because I went down the road with this person and they pulled the rug out. You know, and other times you say, listen, I've had business with this person and I know I can trust them and this is legit. And once we get done with the podcast, I'll give you all the names for you. That's a premium subscription if you want the names.
That's right.
ESPN Plus.
That's right. You've got to buy Commander season tickets to get
part of the package.
All right, Bob, you've got a flight to catch back home. Listen, we'll talk a lot more about this stuff as we get closer to the trade deadline. And you'll just be a TV guy for the trade deadline this year, so we'll be glad to have you.
Well, okay, that's a good way to wrap up the show. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, Bob.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Woj Pod. Be sure to listen to new and archived episodes of the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to also listen to the Adam Schefter podcast with my good friend, Adam Schefter. We'll catch you next time.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.